ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 13 as we continue our study through really this amazing book on victorious Christian living. And keep in mind that Joshua chapter 6 through 21 focus on the conquest of the land of Canaan, the promised land, or how to win these battles we're facing. And I realize that some of these chapters we don't necessarily see as really important. They may even be dry to us. But keep in mind what Paul wrote in Romans 15:4. He said, "For whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." You see, these things are in these chapters for a reason. They're there for our learning. They're going to help us to grow. They give us hope that God is working in us so he can work through us. And I know that, you know, the division of the land of Canaan is not that exciting. It may seem dry, but I'll tell you what, as you're reading the Scriptures, and if they feel dry to you, ask the Holy Spirit to pour out his refreshing waters on your life so you can hear from God. He can speak to you, because I think there are absolutely valuable lessons in here for us. We also need to be open to what God is saying to us because, again, and I've said this before, God doesn't just add chapters to the Bible so it's a little longer, okay? Everything is in here. Even the book of Leviticus is in here for a reason, okay? And remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." All Scripture, from Genesis through Revelation, is inspired by God, and it's profitable to our lives. I've said this many times before, but God's word is profitable because it tells us what's right. It tells us what's wrong. It tells us how to get right when we've gone astray. And it tells us how to stay straight or to walk the line that God wants us to walk. And the whole thing about the Bible, as we read it and apply it to our lives, is we're complete. We are ready to serve him each and every day we wake up in the morning. So don't negate portions of God's word, but look and see what God has for you as you're going through it. Now, just to kind of lay a little foundation to help you understand where we're going to be coming to this morning, back in Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites, who lived like some 25 miles away from Gilgal, they were the next city that the children of Israel were going to attack. They tricked the children of Israel into making a peace treaty with them by pretending they came from a distant land. Remember, their clothes looked real old, their shoes were worn out, the bread was moldy, the wineskins were old and dilapidated. They were supposed to be wiped out, but they fooled the children of Israel. And you think, how did that happen? How did they fool the children of Israel? Well, deception works that way. And here's the thing that really sheds light onto why they were fooled. In Joshua 9:14, it says that they did not seek counsel of the Lord. There's the key. They did not seek counsel of the Lord. You see, the Gibeonites realized it doesn't matter how many soldiers we have, we're not going to defeat the children of Israel. God's fighting for them. We're not going to be victorious. So they decided to trick them so that they wouldn't be wiped out. The other end of the spectrum were five kings who decided, hey, we're going to join forces. Let's get all our soldiers together, we'll fight against the children of Israel, we'll defeat them. And in Joshua 9, verses 1 and 2, we're told this. "And it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the lowland and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. these kings heard what the Gibeonites had done, and they weren't happy because they really wanted the Gibeonites to be with them. So what did they do? These five kings went and fought against the Gibeonites to give them a lesson. But because the children of Israel had made a peace treaty with the Gibeonites, they came and fought and protected them. So the children of Israel are making headway now into the land of Canaan. They defeated these five kings in the southern part of the land, taking control of that region. They're then moving and defeating the northern area of Canaan. And what's amazing is what God had promised them was coming to pass. The land of Canaan was theirs. Remember what the Lord told Joshua before they even entered the land of Canaan back in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. He said, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." This is the land they're dividing now. This is what God promised them, and it's coming to pass. And as we saw in Joshua chapter 12 last time, they defeated 31 kings of Canaan during probably around a 7-year period of time. In fact, in Joshua 11:23, it says, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war." As we move into chapter 13 this morning, we're going to see that Joshua is old, well advanced in years, and yet there's still land that needed to be conquered and possessed. And I've called this study the fullness of God. And the reason for that is it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. There's work that needs to be done. And we want all the fullness of God in our lives. And I've kind of broken the verses we're going to be looking at this morning into three sections. First of all, in Joshua 13, verses 1 through 7, unconquered lands. Then in verses 8 through 13 of Joshua 13, missed it by that much. And then Joshua 13, 14, the Lord is my inheritance. So let's look at this topic, the fullness of God, see what the Lord has for us this morning as we pick up in Joshua chapter 13, starting in verse 1. We're told this: "Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, 'You are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshurites, from Sihar, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron northward, which is counted as Canaanite. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdites, the Ashkenazites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south all the land of the Canaanites and Merah, that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gibeonites, and all Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon, as far as the entrance to Hamath, all the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon, as far as the brook Mizpah, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel, only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land as an inheritance to the 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." I don't know about you, but I know I'm getting old, and I'm sure Joshua was aware of it. And then the Lord goes, "You know, Joshua, you're getting old, advanced in years." Well, thank you, Lord. You know, I really appreciate that. But you know, it's kind of funny. But here's the thing, and this is the first point, unconquered lands. They didn't obtain all the land that God had given them, and the Lord says there remains very much land that is yet to be possessed. There's work to be done. Yes, in the initial battles that lasted some 7 years, they're done. Those were the big battles. But now there's these pockets of resistance scattered throughout all the land, the smaller towns and villages that needed to be conquered. And I'm going to kind of break this point, unconquered lands, into two. First of all, even though Joshua is old, even though he's advanced in years, the Lord said, "Hey, Joshua, you know, you're kind of old. Sit back in your rocking chair and just relax." No. Why? Because the battle never ends until we go home to be with the Lord. And here's the thing that we need to be careful. If we don't continue fighting, we're going to be defeated. We're going to compromise what we believe. and we miss out on the blessings that God has for us. We're not to rest in our past accomplishments. We're to press on. You know, remember what Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. He said, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You see, that pressing on, never stop, never giving up, going forward. I remember several years ago when Pastor Chuck went home to be with the Lord, he was in the pulpit preaching a message just days before he died. And for a long time, he was wearing oxygen because he had a hard time breathing. He pressed on until the end. He gave that last message, and a few days later, he was home with his Lord. He fought that good fight. He finished the race. And I think all of us want to do the same. Yes, we're not all pastors, but we're all in a battle. And whatever the Lord has called us to do, he wants us to do it faithfully. The other thing is, and this is for all of us from when we're young until we're old, we continue that fight. But also, Joshua being old, advanced in years, he has to pass this fight on to the next generation also. He's not going to be around forever. He has to pass it on. And he tells them, look, there's a lot in the land that's occupied by the enemy. We got to take that back. And yes, God is going to drive out the enemy. That's his part. But we have to walk by faith. And isn't that the reality? It's not that, you know, I'm waiting for that job and I'm just going to sit at home in my chair and wait for the Lord to call me. No, you go out and you look for a job and you pray about it and God opens the door. You see, God is going to open that door for you, but you have to go and walk by faith. And that's the same true with the children of Israel here. And the difference now is we don't see the entire nation fighting together as we did before in those 7 years of battles. Now the individual tribes, you get this area. Okay, you're going to have to fight against these pockets of resistance that are in your land. You think, well, all right, that's interesting, but how in the world does that apply to my life today? God wants us to drive out every area of the flesh, not to be comfortable with it. The flesh is a constant enemy towards our spiritual walk. Do we get tired of fighting against the flesh? I'm sure we all do. But don't give up. We're to crucify the flesh. You know, the Lord's telling Joshua here, you know, you're old. You can't keep leading the army of Israel into battle. Divide the land. And let each tribe take care of the enemy in their land. If they were faithful to what God commanded them, God would be faithful to give each tribe, little by little, the victories that they needed in their land. But here was the problem for them. 7 years of war. They're kind of tired. 7 years of battle. We kind of had enough of that. And once we start giving in, we're going to be in trouble. In fact, in Joshua 16, verse 10, we see an example of this. It says, "And they did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day and have become forced laborers." There's a compromise. You know what? Hey, they're going to work for us. Yeah, they're the enemy. Who cares? They're working for us. We're in charge. We're the head honcho. We're the big shot. They're working for us. This is a good deal. That's not what God said. God said, drive them out. And that's a problem when we don't obey the Lord. Think about when you first got saved. You took a stand for what you believed in. No compromise, no standing down. You fought the good fight of faith as you did battle against the flesh, as you did battle against the world, as you did battle against the devil. But then time goes by. We don't have that zeal anymore. We're tired of fighting. And we give in. Well, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. Paul said in Romans 12, 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, the world wants to put you into their mold, and they will do this with all kinds of things. And make no mistake about it, today we are being bombarded with worldly things, and instead of fighting, we give in. Don't. Paul in Galatians 5 said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here's the battle. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. God's given us this victory, but we have to walk. And there's a battle going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And whatever you give into will be manifested in your life. Many today are growing weary in this battle. They're tired of fighting. And they just want this comfortable Christianity where they come to church to fellowship more than to be trained to be good soldiers of Christ and rescue the lost. And in the end, our Christianity becomes a social outlet, just a club we join. They call it fellowship, but really true fellowship is encouraging one another in the work of God and keeping each other accountable in living for Christ. As it says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. We sharpen each other. I'll share this with you about fighting the good fight of faith and not giving up. We're told this, it's written, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We have passions and desires that maintain the opposite. We have human reasoning that says, this is impossible. Then they will do what they want with me. They will walk all over me, etc. Here we have an exhortation by Paul. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. To commit sin is to consciously do something that you know goes against God's will. This can be in word, deed, or even thought. But alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. To fight the good fight of faith means that we stand firmly anchored in the Word, in the power of the Spirit, reckoning ourselves dead to our feelings and our human reasoning, not letting sin rule in our mortal body by obeying its lust. We have to do what Jesus says, take up our cross daily and deny ourselves. Paul also says the same thing, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. This does not happen without fighting and sufferings. Peter says it like this, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Therefore, we must suffer in the flesh if we are to cease from sin. There will be sufferings in the flesh if we, by the Spirit, are to put to death what rises up from the flesh so that the lusts are not allowed to rule. Sin rules and we suffer in our conscience if we do not suffer in the flesh. And I realize that, you know, people think, oh, you're just going overboard with this. You know, it's not such a big deal. Well, turn over to Numbers for a second, two books back, chapter 33. Because before the children of Israel entered the land, listen to what the Lord told them that they were to do. And we're going to pick up in Numbers 33, starting in verse 50, where we're told this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give an smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. In other words, we need to be very careful that we don't allow corrupt practices to come into our lives or into the church, because it will affect and infect us with its poison and bring us into captivity, just as it did the nation of Israel. You know, God warns us, and then it's up to us to listen and obey. He doesn't force us to do these things. The children of Israel, they didn't drive out the inhabitants of the land completely. They left pockets of resistance there. They were a thorn in their life, an irritant to them. And the same is true in our own lives. They'll harass us wherever we go. Now, Paul in Romans 6 said, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You see, don't allow that garbage to be resurrected in your life. Be free in Christ. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have seen that bumper sticker that says coexist. And the idea is to coexist with other religions of the world, which, you know, Christianity can't do unless it compromises what God has said in his word. But I think sometimes we think we could do it with the flesh. We think we can coexist with the flesh instead of fighting against the flesh, crucifying the flesh. If you ignore sin in your life, if you just begin to accept sin in your life, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Make no mistake about it. We saw what God said to the children of Israel in Numbers 33, and I think he's speaking to us as well. And I do realize that today in the church we have this idea of building up the flesh. Show me in the scriptures where we're to build up the flesh. And I will show you where it says we are to crucify the flesh, to put it to death. You see, there's a big difference. Some say, well, I've done a pretty good job. What more does God want from me? Obedience, total obedience. He knows what he's talking about. And we have a choice. Remember what the Lord said to Moses and the children of Israel. If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. You don't make a peace treaty with the flesh. You don't compromise. I think it's really clear in the scriptures. In fact, I'll give you a few. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That was the end of Paul's life. He fought that good fight of faith. It was a battle. And it continued to the very end of his life. And he finished the race strong. He kept the faith. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, this is a battle. We want to make the Christian life a playground. But it is a battle out there. And we need to remember that. Fighting that good fight of faith. And notice where the battle is at, or against, our faith. The battle is what you believe. Isn't that interesting? Because there are a lot of people out there today telling you what to believe. And then there's God who's telling you what to believe. Who are you going to listen to? Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise what you believe. James in James 1:12 said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Enduring temptation, they're going to be out there all the time. So what do you do with them? Do you give in to them, or do you surrender to the Lord and obey his voice? And this battle, I think for the most part, many, many Christians today have no idea where this battle is coming from. They think it's, you know, this political party or this organization or that organization. That's the battle we're fighting against. It's not. Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, tells us exactly where the battle is from. That's why we need to pray. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the Democratic Party. Wait, it doesn't say that, does it? No, it says the wiles of the devil. That's the battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'll tell you what, if you do not think that in Washington, D.C., and the capitals of in all these states that we live in, where government is the seat of the state, you don't think there's demonic forces there, you're fooling yourself. This is a spiritual battle, and it's fought on our knees, asking God to intercede and free those people from where they are going. It's a battle. We have to be wise and stand strong in the Lord. Don't give in to the flesh. Don't compromise your faith. You drive out the enemy. And there's the blessings that come as we serve the Lord, as we take those steps of faith, as we walk as he leads us, trusting him. Unconquered lands, guys. You got to drive out the enemy, crucify the flesh, and make no room for the flesh in our lives. How important that is. Unconquered lands. There are always there areas that we need to deal with. Well, look at verse 8 here in Joshua chapter 13.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with the believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.